Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, A Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
Before we get started here, I want to mention our monthly guidebook slash workbook called The Motivated Musician. It's geared towards serious musicians and it offers challenges, exercises, professional advice, and more to help keep your musical life and career on track. Also, as an extra perk, members get exclusive discounts from My Music Masterclass. And if you want to learn more, go to mymusicmasterclass.com, hit subscribe in the header menu, and you'll be good to go.
That being said, let's trek further down the path of
secret skills.
Secret skills. I keep thinking about Napoleon Dynamite.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Napoleon Dynamite.
Like he goes on the whole, you know, rant about girls only wanting boyfriends with great skills.
Of course. Wasn't it like nunchuck skills and stuff like that?
Yeah, like computer hacking skills, nunchuck skills.
Bow staff.
Which is awesome because like he tells Pedro to make a cake. Oh no, I think Pedro actually has that idea himself. He's like, I'll build her a cake or something. But it's true. Like if you know how to bake, like that's awesome. That's a fucking skill.
That actually is
people
a skill.
Like that stuff.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to talk about here. Not just nunchuck skills. Although, you know, I should brush up. My nunchuck skills are not so good.
Discipline is discipline, man.
Yeah. All right. So where are we going with this? So I told Jake the other day, randomly, I got a 3D printer. That's where we're going to go with this. And because 3D printers are now like $200. And I
Whose
thought.
Whose idea was that? Was it your son's or was it actually your idea?
That's my toy, man. I mean,
all right.
I've got a 4-year-old.
I pictured him like ordering it online. Like, oops.
I can print toys. Yeah. I mean, basically, that's what's happening. But so I decided that it was time to get a 3D printer. I've always been kind of obsessed with the concept of them, but I never, you know, had the money to spend $5,000 on something in its infancy, you know, something that was just developing. Anyway, I got it for like $209 or something like that. I forget. And it's super cool, but it came in this box in about 50 to 100 parts. And there's, you know, I told Jake, I could just imagine like someone ordering this, being like, oh, I want a 3D printer that wasn't technical.
Yeah.
And just opening the box and just being like, fuck this. Because, I mean, it's just like there's extruders and ribbon cables here. And it's like not for the faint of heart. You know, it's basically like building a robot, you know. And nothing's together, you know. So you have to put everything together. And you follow these instructions and they're messed up. And you go on YouTube and there's a person that shows you how they did it. And, you know, you can try to follow along. But the point
is, reminds me of the first time I heard John Schofield. I was like, oh, I'll just go home and do that then.
Exactly.
Right, so out of the box, it should be fine.
So you get this thing built, and of course, it's not even that easy. You still have to get designs from the web and then use another program called Cura, which is a slicer tool, which I'm using, and you have to slice the designs that come from like Fusion 360, this 3D design program, for your specific printer, and then you can have problems even then. You have to calibrate the printer. You have to do all these random things. So it's not like buying an inkjet and just plugging it in and being like, oh, it prints pictures. You know, it's very, very, it's very detailed and it's very geeky and it's very hands-on, right? It's kind of like buying a Raspberry Pi machine or a Linux computer of any kind.
Raspberry Pi machine.
Yeah, no, look it up.
Sounds delicious.
They're cool. But
so that's not a, it's not a Raspberry Pi.
If it were a machine, no, you would be eating.
Oh, I think I know what you mean.
Yeah, they're little boxes, little servers.
Yeah, you can make them like whatever you want.
Exactly.
That's what they're called. Damn.
Yeah, Raspberry. Well, Pi. You know, like 3.1415. Yeah. You know, things like that. My point of all this is that at a certain point,
Magnum PI, Magnum 3.1.
All right, relax. So at a certain point with this 3D printing stuff, you're able to print other people's designs, right? And then you say, well, I want to make my own design. Like, for instance, I made my Music Masterclass coaster. And so then I can go into Autodesk Fusion 360, which is, it's kind of like AutoCAD or one of those programs, and you make your own, right? And so then you're one step deeper into this creation process, and it starts to feel good. Like, you've not only kind of tackled this thing and got it to work, but now you're starting to create things of your own and do it in a way that most people can't do or don't have the patience to learn. So it's one of those skills that may or may not help me in my life, but it's something that's interesting. And you know what? It's probably going to help me somewhere along the line, the way technology is going. So we're going to talk about that today. This is kind of funny. I'll say this first. At one point while I was adjusting the 3D printer, I realized I wanted to change the nozzle and try something else because there's different size nozzles. And the tool that I needed to use to change the nozzle, I lost the handle for the hex bit. And of course, I looked on Thingiverse, which is where you find all these open source files that people just post that you can print. Someone had posted
like a Twilight Zone.
Yeah, exactly. Someone posted a handle for a hex wrench, you know, or for a hex adapter. So therefore, the machine can build something to help modify the machine, which I thought was really, like, you know, futuristic.
Yeah, you won't be laughing when fucking they're roaming down the streets shooting lasers at us.
3D printing people.
Come on. Let's get out of here. Actually, no, he is the Terminator. He's the one doing the shooting. That son of a bitch.
So this whole podcast episode is going to be about skills that you've acquired in your life that aren't technically music skills firsthand, but that are not only going to help your musical life, but your life in general. And I think I can kind of sum it up if I just briefly go over some of my random history with this stuff. So when I was young, I just played bass, right? My brother had an Atari 800 computer and he was 4 years older than me, but I had nothing in my room. And then my brother got a PC in like 1994 or something. But again, it wasn't mine and I wasn't that active with it.
It was probably a 386.
His? No, it was younger than that. It was worse than that.
94?
Yeah.
That's about right.
Well, maybe. I don't know. 94s are like those Pentium 90s.
Oof.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. So it might have been like an 80, you know? So then my friend built me my first PC in like 1996 or 97, and it was a Pentium 90 because it was a few years old. And from then on, I was hooked. You know, I had no money. I was like this bass player, and I was in Brooklyn, and I was 21, and I didn't have money to buy anything. So I was poor as shit. And everything that was sold in stores that was like a laptop or a computer was too much.
It was literally like buying a car. You'd go in and talk to the guy for like hours.
So I did tons of research and I finally figured out how to build my own computer because I was able to do that with the money that I had. And I just did it out of necessity, right? But then by doing that, I learned all these skills. So flash forward to me teaching myself how to, you know, mix and produce music. This happened because I didn't have enough money to pay for studio time. And I wasn't always happy with how the mixes turned out in the studio and how the engineers did it. I thought maybe I could do it better. So if you think that, then give it a shot, right? So I taught myself how to do it on my own. Same with mastering. It was expensive and I wasn't always happy with the mastering jobs we've got, you know, on some of the records I was on. So I decided to learn how to do it myself. And with this, just these skills, let's talk about me being able to build a computer and understand the innards of it, and then also understanding all the software. And by doing that, by just understanding how a computer's built and how to do audio software, you gather a lot of other things, like how to get rid of viruses, like how to keep your computer safe, like how to clean out everything that's in your computer, make sure it's optimized, and do all these things. So what happened was I started getting a lot of calls from not only musicians I knew, but I was referred by a lot of musicians to other musicians that were heavier in the scene to call me. And they were like, you know, this dude, Adam, you know, he's a great bass player, but he's also just a computer whiz, and he can fix your machine, and you have a lot of viruses or it's not really running fast, call him. And so I ended up getting introduced to a lot of players when I was younger and getting in with them, because I would go help them with their machines. They would actually pay me too. It's not like I would just do favors. I mean, but I got to know them as a cool guy. I was never pushing that. The word just got around. And yeah, I ended up getting very well connected because of that.
I mean, hell, you got speaker monitors from a badass dude from helping him build a studio.
Yeah, I helped him build a studio, and I got Myers. What are they? Meyer Watts?
HD1s.
Yeah,
man.
HD1s. It didn't just stop there. Like, I learned Flash when that was a thing because I wanted to animate stuff. That's how I made the intro video on you know, all of the My Music Masterclass videos, which we're going to redo soon. But I did it myself because I learned Flash. I learned Photoshop and Illustrator. I learned Dreamweaver. I learned HTML and CSS and all that stuff because I needed to build a website. And again, I didn't have the money to hire someone, and I thought they were charging too much. So basically, my life is just gone the way of, you want that much to do this? Ah, let me see if I can do it myself. You know, and I've always had the confidence to try. And if I really can't do it, then I call someone in and they do it. And that goes with everything. It goes with the fact that I know, you know, basic construction stuff like framing a wall or a basic electricity stuff about, you know, changing switches in my house or doing that. Or with electronics, I know how to solder. I know how to fix input jacks that are broken on basses or on amps. And also I set up my own basses. You know, I set up all my own instruments, and I've done it for other people. All these skills, it's because, again, the shit is just expensive to hire someone else to do it. And I wanted to do it myself and not pay them and learn it. And also I've been hired to do pretty much every one of these skills for other people.
I think I've been seeing this a lot lately too, since March. People like, just do it now. And it's because of, it's out of necessity now, but it's just like, yeah, could do that the whole time. You know, you don't need an epidemic to jump on this stuff. But a lot of people, you know, it's nice to see. It's pretty cool.
But these skills are just good to have. It's good to know how to put up drywall or put tiles on the ground, you know, retile a floor or fix a switch that's broken, replace a light fixture. Any of these things would help you if you got your own space, even if it's not something that you own. I know that bass player Brett Simons had that loft downtown in LA when we were there, and he knew a lot about that stuff, and he basically made the entire loft into this insane room with like a kitchen and a bathroom, and he like ran pipes and did everything, you know, and it looked amazing. And these are things you can do if you have the skills. And you know how much that would cost if you hired someone? I mean,
yeah,
you know.
And in that world, you're not going to get it done in any timely manner.
No.
Because all those cats have a ton of jobs booked, and they just, you know, they have the freedom to kind of pick and choose where they want to go that day.
Yeah.
I just had a friend do his whole studio, and it was just, you know, a nightmare. It was like, you know, and he's working like full time. He's in production world. So yeah, like he doesn't have time to do that shit. The stuff he had time for, he was doing, like they painted their own place. Mm-hmm. He did a ton of stuff like himself and learned how to do stuff. But the stuff he had to get done, shit was breaking. They'd bring the wrong thing. It'd get like recalled. They'd put it in wrong. They'd have to get another person come in, redo it. Like this was like weeks and weeks, yeah, and weeks and months and shit tons of money. Cause like, no matter what, you have to pay these people for labor. Even if they fuck something up, like, too bad. Like, you want them to come fix it? That's more hours of labor. Like, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's a lot of stuff. So if you could cut any of that down, you know.
Yeah.
It's great.
And the other big thing about this is also that you're not always going to have the time to do something, and or you may not be capable of doing a specific job. Like if you have a bathroom and it's a disaster and you need to fix it up and you don't have time to do it, or maybe it's just beyond you. You're not really good at tiling and you don't want to have to reroute plumbing, and that's difficult, and I understand. The fact that you know enough about that subject means that you will most likely not get screwed by someone that is doing the job.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
And this is kind of a huge point. It's like, if you go to someone and say, look, like, I was going to do this job, but I don't have the time, but, you know, basically you got to do this and you got to do this and we need someone to, you know, put a liner in for the tub and then do this. And so like, what is that going to cost? Like, you just phrasing it that way means that someone's going to give you like an estimate that is no bullshit. This person knows what they're doing. And this is the deal. As opposed to like going to a car mechanic, it's the same thing. Like if you go to a car mechanic and you say like, look, there's a hole in my radiator or like something very specific, they're going to say, okay, this is how much it'll cost for that. As opposed to being like, my car isn't starting well, or sometimes it shuts off. You know what I mean? Like that could be anything from like a clogged like hose to, you know, a fuel line to like an engine failure, right? I mean, you know, it could be anything. So the more you know about something going in, the less like you're going to get screwed. And Jake and I have talked about this because we were going to do a specific episode on dealing with graphic designers and dealing with people like that. And it's very much the same thing. Like if you don't understand Photoshop, and you don't have to be like a graphic designer, but you should be like pretty mediocre or better. You know what I mean? You should know how to do your own graphics to a certain degree.
At least understand how it all works.
Yeah. Like if you have that knowledge, then you can talk the language to someone that does
you're
it.
You're going to get more for your money.
Yeah.
Because like half the time you're going to spend trying to explain what you want to like an artist, and they're just going to be so annoyed that you have no idea how anything works. You'd be like, I want it to look like NBC or something. You know, just like think about having a conversation with someone who's not a musician. How frustrating that is. It's the same way, like when you're talking to someone who is a profession, if you don't speak their language, they're just going to be staring at you like, what the hell is wrong with you? I'm going to hose you in so many different ways.
Well, it's like when I used to do music for commercials and stuff like that, and then you'd get, when I did it for shows, the music supervisors always kind of knew how to talk to musicians, you know, but when I was doing it for commercials, it's more like a board of people that work for a company, and they'd be like, I want it to sound more jumpy and fairy-like or something, you know, and just be like, what the fuck is that mean, you know? And like the terminology was just, you know, and they'd be like, faster but slower a little bit, you know, or something. You'd just be like, what? Do you mean louder? You have to decipher what they meant by like more up. They'd be like more up tempo, but also like less frantic. And it's like, I don't know. I'm lost. So, I mean, you know, imagine that, like when someone gives you those kind of words and or those kind of directions and you roll your eyes, like that's what you're doing to other people. Like when
there's just languages though.
Yeah.
Like start with that. Like you don't even have to learn any skills. Just start with languages. Like what language does a lawyer speak? You don't even have to know the terms, but just how do they think? Like, what does their world consist of? It consists of these things. So this is how they think. This is how shit gets done. Like, okay, well, how about a mechanic? Okay, this is how they think. And they think in parts and like taking things apart and time and, you know, is something worth doing if it's going to be too far into something else? You know what I mean? It's just like, just try to learn any language. It doesn't take that much. Like start with cooking. Cooking is a great example to learn skills. Like understanding cooking is insane, because chefs will look at you like you're crazy if you're just like, yeah, I put this chicken on the pan and didn't cook. You know, it's like, well, did you heat the fucking pan? You know what I mean? Like, how long did you heat the pan?
Did you use
for?
Oil? Like, did you use butter?
Yeah, what
did
like, you use? You know, it's just language. It's like there's just a certain, you know, platform you get to sort of at least be able to stand on. And then you can learn stuff, you know?
I would say go a step further, though, and for instance, if you are talking to a lawyer, don't just learn the terminology without understanding what it is, because that's even more annoying. Yeah. If you're like, well, you know, I see that, like, I don't think I'm 4C article 4, you know, like just randomly saying shit because they're going to be like this. It's like someone being like, yeah, you know, like I want that kind of like Coltrane, you know, sound meets like, you know, the Mazda commercial. He's like, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, what? I don't even understand. He's trying to say Coltrane, but like there's a Mazda yeah. thing in there. You know, when it comes down to it, it's the same way with if you're talking to a lawyer, you do want to have information. Like, for instance, if you know what you're going to talk about, if you're talking about building a trust, or if you have a specific case that you need someone to work on, like a lawsuit, like it is important to research it before so you have those questions ready. Because,
yeah.
you know, like you might learn on the internet that lawyers charge this way sometimes.
Well, it's also all specialized.
I mean, and when you learn about people that are celebrities that all of a sudden say, my manager embezzled like $49 million from me and I had no idea, or I hadn't paid taxes in like 12 years and I don't know because I have people that are supposed to do that. Like that is sad. It's very, very sad. But it also means that that person had so much going on that they were no longer even looking at that side of their business. And, you know, I think the majority of the time, hopefully that doesn't happen to people that are big enough to have teams of financial advisors and things like that. But it is important to not 100% micromanage, but to, like I said, understand all these facets. Like you should understand your taxes, even if you're not an accountant. Like I'm not an accountant. And there's things that I ask my accountant about because I don't understand them all. But I ask questions and I ask the right questions to understand and I read about it. And I...
And also, he doesn't know your life. Like, he's not sitting with you. So it's also like, you know, a lot of people, if they don't speak certain languages, they think everyone's out to get them, number one. That might be the case. Like, that is sometimes the case with, like, you know, mechanics and contractors and stuff like that. But, like, a tax person, for example, like, if you don't know a little bit of the language, then you can't really tell them anything useful, like right. that they might not know. You're like, oh, by the way, like I work at home, you know, right. it's just like, oh, well you should have fucking mentioned that. But if you don't know that that's like a thing, then you're not going to get all those tax breaks from, you know, doing every square inch in your place and writing that as a number, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it gets you further down.
Yeah. You have to know what's writable, offable. You know what I mean? That's not yeah. a real word, but you know, you have to know what you can write off. And for instance, Jake was right. Like if you have an office that you work out of in your house, it could be your bedroom. Like there could be, they take that square feet out of your whole apartment and they do a calculation for working at home.
We
got to
do a tax episode. We definitely got to do
it. I know. I'm not a professional.
I
want to get an accountant.
I want to get Ulf to do it. He would do one. Yeah. I just got to get a hold of him.
But again, if you don't say that, they might not ask, right? Or if you have a ton of receipts from gear or a certain amount of food that you ate, if it was...
Which we put on our workbook, by the way.
Yeah. A certain amount of food you ate or venues that you attended because you were checking out other musicians. Like if you go to a gig and you go to see someone else and you want to talk to everyone and kind of be in the scene, like that is technically a networking event, you know? I mean,
if you look at it in the world of like business, like that's legitimately a job. Like they always do it in the movies. It's kind of funny. They're like, all right, Teddy, you're bringing out the, you know, we have like these big shots from Korea coming in and we need to show them a good time. Like that is fully a business expense.
Absolutely.
Like, they don't need to have scotch all fucking night. They don't need to go to a strip joint, you know, but that shit's all going to be like,
it's all written it's fucking, off.
Yeah. It's all written off. So it's just like, you know, you might not think that you going to like hotel cafe and like buying an artist a drink and talking to them and being like, I want to book like a photo shoot or something, blah, blah, blah. Like that's all.
Yeah.
That's all fucking tax.
It's all deductible. Yeah. It's all deductible. There's also a lot of friends I have that talk about booking tours, and literally every one of them books their own tours, and then at a certain point they may hire someone to book their tours, like a booking agent. But many of them have told me that they've had to fire their booking agent because they weren't doing as good a job as they did, you know. Yeah. And sometimes you get hooked up with a really good booking agent, but again, it's not, you know, I mean, you know, you the best you can do. Like,
well, it comes down to that other thing you were talking about like a while ago about like, you know, if when you hire session musicians to be in your band, don't expect them to give a flying fuck about your music.
Yeah.
Like, it's not their job. If you're booking your own shit,
you can sell yourself.
You love yourself. Like, you care about yourself. This is your product. So you and when you put together like a tour, you do that every inch of the way with that in mind. You know, you're going to hire someone for a certain amount of money. The first thing they're going to do is bare minimum. If they're, you know, that's sort of just how people are. If they put a lot of effort into it, that's great. And you'll keep them around. But like, don't always expect that, because why the fuck do they care? You know? They'll do their minimum job and whatever.
Plus, the other side of this is that you literally can't get a good booking agent unless you are able to book yourself successfully first. It's very similar to the agent dilemma. So when I was in Los Angeles writing music for television, one of the big catch-22s is that you need an agent to negotiate some of the bigger deals. Though, no agent will represent you unless you have a deal on the table. So like, no one's going to get you work. So you basically have to hustle and get your own work. And then if a deal comes up, you call an agent just to deal with that deal. Like, it's the absolute worst thing in the world. And then, even then, after you've gotten that deal, you have to be pretty A-list to get someone to like shop gigs for you, you know? So it's the same with a booking agent. And we've talked about it with PR too. Like, if you don't go into a situation if you go to a publicist with no work that you've done, they can do nothing for you. They may take your money, but they can do nothing for you because you haven't given them anything to work with, you know? And it's the same with booking agents. If you don't know how to book yourself and you don't have enough of a following and shit going on, like, you're going to get shitty gigs and someone's going to charge you for it, and they might overcharge you.
People mostly will do the minimum and they're still going to charge you for it, and you might not get anything out of most stuff. But if you know their language, if you know the world that they live in, then honestly, most cases you're not even going to hire them, because you're going to be like, A, I don't have enough shit for them to actually work with and make a difference right now, so I need to get that on my own. That's on me. Or B, I'll just fucking do it myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other big thing about small talk, if this is something we want to get into, is that small talk is built on knowing little pieces of other people's worlds. And what I mean by that is that, for instance, if I know I'm going to a gathering and there's going to be a bunch of astrophysicists there, then it would behoove me to maybe like look on the internet and read some fascinating things about new things that are happening.
Pick up a Brian Greene book, well, or fucking Neil deGrasse, something in your wheelhouse that you could understand conceptually.
Yeah, but even something that's not, that you don't understand that well, like for instance, the Large Hadron Collider, and you can say, well, I was reading that they found the God particle, right? You can just talk to him and be like, look, like I'm a musician, but I mean, I was reading this thing about the Large Hadron Collider, like, I don't really understand quantum physics to that level. Like, this is a particle that it quickly dissipates. Can you just explain to a layman? Like, even not fronting and being like, I know everything. It's like you're starting a cool conversation. And you know what? That person's going to want to explain because they love that stuff. Like, you know what I mean? That's like awesome. Their wheelhouse. And then, you know, it happens all the time. And this is just like a random example. But this is what makes you more enjoyable to be around, knowing little things about different aspects of life that are interesting. And I know a lot of random facts, but I'm always reading and I'm always preparing myself. So if you're going to, you know, again, a place with a bunch of movie directors, like film directors, like, you know, or this or that, like, it's always good just to research. So, you know, people used to tell me that, like, every day, you know, back in the day, you know, you read the paper, so you know all the news, you know, and then you're really good at small talk because you know everything is happening. Nowadays, it's like, get out of your fucking social media Facebook bubble or Instagram or Twitter verse and like get more well-versed in different topics so that you can actually discuss random things with people and have a good time. And you know what? I swear it's going to help you. It might not sound like it's going to come together and help your musical career, but it does. It helps your life in a lot of ways.
Take advantage of all the stuff that's out there. I was just listening to a podcast, like, and you know, they're making fun of a dude in the 70s, and he kind of, I mean, it was an awful situation. He had lost his wife and stuff like that, and he had this 9-year-old kid to take care of. But like a 35-year-old dude in like 1974 didn't know how to do shit, like, because the fucking women did everything. If it's not just the one job that he has, you know, to make the money, like, he doesn't know how to cook, he doesn't know how to do laundry, he doesn't know how to clean, doesn't know how to take care of a kid, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's just so insane how that was in the, like, the 70s and 80s, and now it's like a whole different ball game. Like, men know how to cook, men know how to do shit, and women take the reins on a whole other realm of a world that they didn't have before. It's just like, the stuff isn't going to stop.
No, everybody has to do, like, everything now.
Yeah, and it's in a way, it's a lot, and it kind of sucks in certain ways, but at the same time, it's a lot easier too. Like, you don't have to go sit in a library for 6 hours to prep yourself to go to a party that there's going to be film directors at. You can just go on YouTube for like 10 minutes. Like, I was looking up wrist movement for belly dancing last night, and I stumbled on all these like cool YouTube pages, and it was just fucking awesome. Like, you just instantly, you're like in the language of the dance world. Mm-hmm. And you're like, this is fucking cool, and like, this is how they speak, and this is how they move, and this is how they understand things. And that's took me 5 minutes, you know.
But that's also helpful for relationships. Like, if Jake was to meet a belly dancer, that would be a way to strike
up
a conversation.
I've dated many dancers, and they're awesome. and that language interest, and I had no idea, like, you know, how any of that shit worked. I remember going to, you know, dance things at like UCLA, and it would blow my fucking mind.
Like, and at the same time, if someone came up to you and started talking to you about, you know, Schumann, or like the fact that, like, you know, I really love the, I like, they were a dancer, and they'd be like, I danced to this Chopin piece and it was very beautiful. Yeah. Like, you'd be like, all of a sudden you share the same world regardless of what you do.
And they see it in a whole different way too. Mm-hmm. Like, the way it's, you know, cause they learn the classics. They know more of that shit than we do because, you know, they dance to it. So it's like, it's in a different way, you know, but yeah, language for me, it's languages. For you, Adam, I know it's like, more hands-on, and it could be, it's both, you know what I mean? But like, I would say to anyone, you know, who might think it's overwhelming to like actually hands-on learn stuff, just learn languages for a little while. Just like live in that world. Like, what is this person actually thinking? They're an architect. Like, what the fuck is their language?
I think it's also a homework thing, and it has to do with language, what Jake's talking about. For instance, I've done some podcasts and in my life where I was the guest and someone asked me to do it and they literally just didn't know basic facts about me that are searchable on the internet, you know? And, and I'm thinking, wow, like, you really didn't do any fucking research. You know what I mean? Like, you knew I was going to be, you asked me to do this and like, you don't know that like I was a bass player for this many years or this, or like, I mean, like, that's, literally, it doesn't take very long. Like, I could do
research.
Like,
what's the point of having you on there?
I know.
Like, why did they want you?
Yeah, like, they're learning about me right then. I could find basic facts about anyone in 5 minutes and prepare what I'm going to ask them. That's real poignant questions about. I mean, of course, I do more than that, but yeah, it's just the I don't give a
shit. Right off the bat, you're like, let's talk about your strange wife.
Exactly.
That would be the first question fucking Eric Clapton. So Eric, talk to me about Georgie Boy.
So it was Scientology, that's what broke you apart? I mean, the point is just to be able to talk to other people about things that they enjoy and knowing about them and not just doing it because you think it's homework, doing it because you think it's interesting. Like, this is another subject that we will go into at a greater length at another time. But
it's also pivotal, though.
Yeah, but you should have many interests that are non-musical. Like, it shouldn't just be homework. You should literally be excited to read news about science and about, you know, CRISPR or, like, something that's interesting. Like, it doesn't need to be that. It could be botany for you. It could be, you could have a garden. You could like woodworking or building or painting, you know, I mean, whatever it is, like, you have a certain language that you can choose to talk to people in, but don't be so closed off and dismissive of other people's interests or occupations, because there's a lot to learn. Like, I know a lot about, I don't know, random healthcare stuff because of what my wife does, or random, you know, if you have a a cousin that's a nurse or a preschool teacher or whatever, like soak it in, man. I mean, like, don't just like just tune them out when you're talking to them. You know what I mean? Have something to contribute.
Yeah. We did a shoot with Varden, piano player. He's a badass. But like, I went into a studio and fucking he had a whole chest set up and then like a book on just openings, like a thick book. So he's just like studying chess openings right now. And then also he's doing tango.
Oh,
so he's
dance,
just learning like dance steps with tango. And I'm like, oh, like immediately I'm like, oh, like, are you playing tango piano? He's like, no. He's like, this is totally, he's like, it's just totally dance. He's like, I'm not even, I just play tango music on the stereo. Like, I'm not even involved. Like, he's a master fucking piano player. Right. And like, he's just doing the tango as dance. Like, he's not getting into that with the piano at all. I thought that was kind of interesting too. It's just like, yeah, man, like that's fucking awesome.
And it is. Separate and that's session. Like a whole different thing to get into. I knew some bass players. I knew a bass player in New York that was like a master tango dancer too. And
so badass.
And and you learn these things about people. You're like, oh, you also do that. And like when I went on the road with Sam Yahel, he was training like professional level ping pong. He would go to like these ping pong dojos across the country. We would be in like Cleveland for a day.
Do they
like,
call them dojos?
No, but technically it is. It's like these clubs and like there'd just be some dude that would just smoke you. You know what I mean? And like I'm pretty good at ping pong for like a layman. Like I can beat normal people.
Yeah, you can fuck up college drunk kids.
Yeah, like I'm a bar ping pong player, but like he's like a, he looks like Olympic level to me. Of course, like he'd be like, no, those people will kill me. You know what I mean? But like, He's insane. You know what I mean? Like he's like a real ping pong player.
Yeah.
And he would study and people would just be like, no, it'd be like Miyagi Do. You know what I mean? Or like they'd be like, yeah, no, like this is wrong. You're terrible. You were the worst ping pong player we've ever seen. You know.
And sounds like ballet.
Yeah, it's serious. But anyway, like that was his shit. Like we go on the road and like wherever we were, if we were there for 3 days, he would hunt down like the local ping pong dojo and he'd be like, this person was on like the Chinese Olympic team, like in the, you know, they had this one. Awesome. It was like serious people, you know.
It's a big world and like people that open up schools like aren't fucking sloths. You know what I mean? Like they're probably pretty badass.
So that's what he would do on days off. You just go and like get schooled, you know what I mean?
And that's a whole, even you just being around that opened up a whole new world for you. Just
I learned about
observing
it.
That shit.
Well, we're in the bus together, so it's like we talk about it. I mean he would tell me all about it, and you know, and he'd just be like, oh man,
everything in the world is like its own language and its own universe.
Yeah.
And I've never understood how people just don't give a shit about anything other than like the one thing that they do.
I know. You know, I think that we've probably said a decent amount on the subject, maybe more than I thought. And, I hope that we've been able to convey that all these random skills that you've acquired are not so random and they're not so useless. And, you know, you may use them again. And every time, for every person that's in like high school Spanish class, like I was, and being like, fuck, I don't want to be here. Like, you know, pay attention, because when you're older, you're going to be like, God, I wish I was better at Spanish. I wish I was better at French. Like, I want to learn 100 languages now. But when you're young, you don't take advantage all the time of these things that are that, you know, like if your father is like an electrician and he's like, yeah, I want to show you how to do this. And you're like, oh, Dad, it's so boring. It's like, learn the shit, man. Learn that. That is some awesome stuff to learn. I mean, trust me, you'll be able to save yourself like $100,000 in the future at some point by rewiring your house, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever the case is, soak it up and, you know, and it'll all come back to make your life and your music better, hopefully. Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail, you can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So, look forward to hearing from you.